Today on Maine Calling, Mainers set to compete in the Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics begin in just 2 weeks, and sport by sport, we've been learning the names of those chosen to represent the United States at the Games. Maine will be well represented, with competitors so far in alpine skiing, snowboard cross, bobsled, and luge. Exciting! I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with one of them, bobsled pilot Frankie Del Duca, who has had a great year in World Cup racing and is in medal contention. We'll also check in with sports journalist Christine Brennan, who is covering her 22nd consecutive Olympic Games. And we'll hear from at least one proud dad. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and offering custom homes in Quarry Cottages, highlandgreenlifestyle.com. And by Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine has produced a number of Olympic athletes, especially when it comes to winter sports. Today, we are going to talk to one of these top-level competitors and learn what the Olympic experience is all about. My guest for the hour is Frank Del Duca, a bobsled driver for the 2026 U.S. Olympic team. He competed in the 2022 Olympics as well. He is from Bethel. He was a track star at the University of Maine. Also with us, Christine Brennan, who is a best-selling author, USA Today sports columnist, and co-host of the new podcast, Milan Magic. And you are co-hosting that with Olympic gold medalist Brian Boitano, right?
That's correct. Yes, Jen. And gearing up for my 11th consecutive Winter Olympics and 22nd overall winner in summer. I know Frankie's working on catching that eventually.
That would be something. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you a bobsled fan? Are you a Frankie Del Duca fan? Or are you excited about another Olympic sport? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-2. Frankie, you're coming and going. We're having a little bit of trouble. Let me just give the number, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to try. Let's see, Frankie, your video is frozen. Can we hear you? Darn, let's hope that Frankie Del Duca can reconnect with us. There he is. Hi, Frankie. Can you hear us now? Joining us from Austria, where he's training. So we'll get back to Frankie in just a moment. How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Sorry, Yay. My internet kicked off there.
That's okay. We appreciate you being here from Austria, where you're training. Christine, you mentioned this is your 22nd consecutive Olympics. Frankie, it's your second. How does this so far, what is this experience, how does it differ so far for you from last time? What are your goals?
Well, it's a bit different this time around. I think nothing really beats that first team announcement for your Olympic team. It's similar to your first national team. There's just, you know, you always remember that first time your name's called. So nothing really beats that. But I must say this time around, without all of the travel restrictions and spectator restrictions, having my friends and family in the stands, it's just going to be, it really is a dream come true. So I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I know that you've been named to the four-man team. Has the two-man been named yet?
Yes. So I will be driving both the two-man and four-man. There's just the two man for the men's side hasn't been announced for the driver and push athlete combinations just yet.
Okay. So, you guys are in medal contention, right?
Yes, I'd say so. The field is very competitive, so there's a handful of us that are medal contenders, but we're certainly in that conversation. We've gotten several fourth places, fifth place, sixth place. There is truthfully just German dominance in bobsled, and we're sort of the ones knocking on the door the most often. So, yeah, we're right there, and I think on our day we can really hang with anybody. So, we just have to have we have to have a good day 2 days in a row and see what we could do.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Christine Brennan, what is different for you about this Winter Olympics?
You know, it's a great question, Jen, because it, for example, with, Frankie, where he will be and where I will be, I always go with the indoor sports at the Winter Olympics. There's a real strategy here, folks. when I watch my friends on the mountain and, minus 20 wind chill, I'm inside covering figure skating, or I do cover other things as well. And I've covered skiing over the years, bobsled, back in the days when Herschel Walker actually was on the team. The men's team. And but this games, it's Milan, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, Jen, it's Milan, but it's also Cortina. Back in 1956, it was just the Cortina Olympics, way back. Tenley Albright from Boston winning the first women's Olympic gold medal in figure skating, starting an incredible trend, including Peggy Fleming, Dorothy Hamill, et cetera. So that was 56, and it was just in that tiny mountain town. The Winter Games have changed dramatically, and anyone watching Vancouver, big city, Salt Lake City, big cities. Sochi was man-made by Putin for 50 short, a small $51 billion price tag. On and on it goes. They're usually Beijing 2022, which of course, as Frankie knows, was certainly not the same because of the incredible COVID restrictions during the Omicron wave. Just a horrible situation for the athletes and for all of us. But we made it through. But it was not the Olympic experience as you would hope. And so, big city, Milan. Hosting. So, the weather's going to be in the 40 degrees. It may rain more than snow in Milan. I will be there. And of course, Frankie and so many of the other athletes, Michaela Schifrin, Lindsey Vonn, those incredible stories, are going to be in the mountains. There's three other different sites. So it's spread out in a way where you really can't go between them. Vancouver in 2010, I went to cover Lindsey Vonn in the downhill. It was an hour shuttle, a media shuttle up to Whistler, came back in time to do some events in Vancouver that night. This cannot happen. You cannot move around. And it'll be, that's a first to kind of have these satellite sites. And I think people watching on TV will just go, oh, okay, they're all together. Well, we're actually going to be very far apart, but that's okay because that's the modern Winter Olympic Games.
Okay, well, we're 2 weeks until the opening of the Winter Olympics. What does that mean for you, Frankie? At this point, are you training hard or are you like a swimmer? Do you taper? I mean, what's going on in your life at this moment?
Well, we are just doing everything we can to prepare. There's not a whole lot. You're not going to get a whole lot better in just a couple weeks. So the work, truthfully, is already done. But that being said, having 2 weeks with minimal sliding, which takes a toll on the body, we're able to focus on our sprinting and our lifting. So we can get quite a bit of good training in. And yeah, set up a taper or a nice little peak for the two-man and four-man competition. So it's an exciting time. It really is. It's an exciting time.
You were a sprinter at UMaine. Christine Brennan mentioned, of course, Herschel Walker was a bobsledder and he was fast. Is that why you were recruited for bobsledding because of your speed? How did it happen? How did you get into bobsled?
Well, first, I want to say Herschel Walker competed with my coach, Brian Scheinberg. It's a pretty cool story of his transition to bobsled. But I for bob.
You know what? We are having some more technical problems. We're going to see if we can hook up with Frankie in a different way because we're so excited to have him on the program. Christine Brennan, I want to come back to you. You mentioned that you cover indoor sports. You are perhaps the most expert journalist on figure skating in the nation. And this is a really exciting year for the USA when it comes to figure skating, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, there's so many storylines. First and foremost, Ilya Malinin. If you haven't heard the name, get used to it. The quad god, as he calls himself. But he's not as boastful as that makes it sound. He had 7 quads in his long program at the Grand Prix final a month ago in Japan. The most quads ever performed in a 4-minute long program in the history of the sport. He is the huge Olympic gold medal favorite in the men's competition, but the ice is slippery and anything can happen. He also will be leading the USA in the team competition, which kicks off the Olympics. And so Ilya Malinin could have 2 gold medals about 5 days into the Olympics. And if he doesn't, it will be a shocking development. The team competition, Japan and others are good, but the U.S. should win. Russia is banned, correctly so, appropriately so, a lifetime achievement award for the Russians for cheating, but also in this case for the invasion of Ukraine. So none of the shenanigans that we saw 4 years ago with Kamila Valieva, which is a story I broke, that horrible story of doping, and then the U.S. team getting their gold in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower 2.5 years later at the Paris Olympics. So U.S. should win that team gold. Ilya Malinin should win the men's gold. And then the U.S. women, Jen, are terrific. They will probably break the 20-year drought in Olympic medals for women's figure skating, which is stunning, I'm sure, to your audience. When you think of, as I mentioned, Peggy Fleming, Dorothy Hamill, Christy Yamaguchi, Sarah Hughes, so many others, to think that it's been 20 years since a U.S. woman has won an Olympic medal of any color, gold, silver, or bronze, it's extraordinary. But this team, led by Amber Glenn, 3-time national champion, Alyssa Liu, 2-time national champ, and Isabeau Levito, 1-time national champ, it looks good to be able to compete with the Japanese and the 1 Russian skater allowed in. No teams for Russia, but they are allowing individual athletes. And one of them, I would believe, should win a medal and break that drought. And the teamsmanship, the incredible camaraderie of these 3 women, they finish each other's sentences, they laugh at each other's jokes, and they watch each other and cheer each other on. Even when Alyssa Liu did this, and I've got a video, a reel that's out there that people can see, of Alyssa Liu finishes, doesn't leave, doesn't go backstage, put on headphones. She stands there and watches Amber Glenn cheering her on. And Amber Glenn is the only person who can beat Alyssa Liu. And she does beat Alyssa Liu. And yet there is Alyssa Liu cheering for her competitor. What a wonderful statement in our world, in our society today, as you with the nation so fraught and so fragmented in so many ways, to watch these women be such incredible teammates. And last one, but hardly least, Max Naumov. American, 3rd U.S. man to make the Olympic team in the men's competition. His parents, world champion pair skaters in 94, and his coaches, Russians, many came to the United States and are coaching, were on the American Airlines flight that literally almost a year ago now collided, the helicopter collided with it over the Potomac River at Washington National Airport, and they were killed. And Max Naumov has carried on, decided not to retire, 24 years old, made the Olympic team. Max is going to be, I believe, the most sentimental story of the entire Olympics, not just for the U.S., but worldwide, as he tries to honor his parents who are gone, as 28 members of the figure skating community were killed in that terrible midair collision January 29th, 2025, and 11 skaters, but including coaches and Max's parents, perished that night, and yet he's carrying on, and he did make the U.S. Olympic team. I mean, it's just one of the most amazing stories I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. Well, Christine, we're so looking forward to your coverage of that, and I think we have Frankie back. Frankie, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sounds so much better. We have you by phone now. Well, you were telling us, I believe, when you got cut off about that your coach competed with Herschel Walker?
Yes, my coach, Brian Scheimer, was a driver, and he competed with Herschel Walker, which is just kind of it was a cool transition with Herschel coming in from football and finding some very quick success with bobsled. And I was saying I did do track at University of Maine, but I walked on when I transferred from the University of New England, and I wasn't recruited for track, and I wasn't recruited for bobsled either. I just showed up and really wanted to do it and sort of worked it out.
Showed up and really wanted to do it. Well, here you are, 12 years later in your second Olympics and vying for a medal. Frank, I understand that bobsledding isn't the only thing that you like to do in which you go fast.
That's right. Yeah. Just since a very young age, I've just been drawn to speed and adrenaline. So I have a ski racing background, a little bit of autocross background, so auto racing. And I've just always been drawn to speed. And I have a go-kart now that, you know, you think go-kart, like, oh, a little, you know, kid's kart or something, but it's actually got a dirt bike engine on it and goes 85 miles an hour. So I do that in the off season when I can. And yeah, I'm just drawn to it. I have a little kind of a budget little simulator with a computer and a steering wheel that I am getting into a little bit. So yeah, if it goes fast, I'm interested. So since a young age.
So if it goes fast, you're interested. Can you tell us what it feels like to be hurtling down a bobsled? Do you call it a chute track at top speed?
Yeah, I think I call it a bobsled run. It's called a bobsled track. It's sort of hard to explain. I can explain it as a driver easily. There's a ton of chaos, and it's actually quite violent. But when I'm driving, all that chaos is going on around me, but it feels so slow and calm and peaceful, which sounds crazy, but the level of focus that I have to have to hit the speeds we hit and be safe, but also fast, it takes all of my focus. And so it actually feels kind of slow and serene. And it's euphoric for me to try to push the envelope of a machine, or in this case a bobsled, and try to see how fast I can go. When I was a push athlete,
Go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead.
When I was a push athlete, I couldn't see where I was going, and I was a push athlete for 3 years. It's hard to explain how that is, because it's really not like a roller coaster. That's probably the easiest one to say. Like, it's more similar to a roller coaster than anything, but we're actually hitting 95, 96 miles an hour. We're going 4 or 5+ G's and also climbing 10+ feet on a wall. So it's so hard to quantify that in like, I guess some roller coasters will do similar. It's just a wild experience. It's a lot of fun. And it's definitely, there's far more vibrations, and it's a lot more violent than it looks on TV. When I watched, I was like, wow, that looks like fun, and it looks so fast and smooth, and it's cool how they make the ice look like that. And it is definitely fast, and it's definitely not smooth. And I kind of learned firsthand that first run I took as a rookie.
Wow. Well, guess what? Somebody you know has just called in, David Cusano. Hi, David. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Now, you're the track coach at Colby College now, but you used to be at UMaine and you coached Frankie, right?
Long time ago. Yes, this is true.
What should we know about him as we watch the Olympics? So he says, hi, coach. I think I stepped on him. Go ahead.
Hey, Frankie, how are you, bud? I'll tell you what, just calling in right now, I have literal goosebumps on my arms just being able to call in and say a few things about you. First and foremost, couldn't be more proud of you for representing our country here at the upcoming 2026 Olympic Games. You represent your family extremely well, the institution, University of Maine, and all your teammates, your track and field teammates, Blackout Nation. We couldn't be more proud of you and all the work that you've done. But most importantly, what I would want to say to all the listeners out there, and Frankie alluded to it a little bit earlier in the interview, but it's an extreme focus. It's euphoric. It's something that he's pushing to the limit. And the reality is, Frankie was very humble about mentioning walking on to the University of Maine, but his talent, his self-motivation, his internal drive, and his relentless hunger for elite-level success, not only as an athlete, but as a man, as a husband, as a friend, and as a teammate, has come through his entire life and will continue to come through. And this is just one chapter in the story of Frankie Del Duca, but I'm very proud to have said I had the opportunity to work with Frankie, and but he's incredible, elite in every sense of the word, and I know for a fact he will make our country very proud and represent us very well at the Olympic Games. And Frankie, from my end, man, give Cortina hell, let it rip. I wish you the best in your team, and just keep up the good work, man. Really, really proud of you.
Wow, Coach, thank you very much. You always had a way of motivating me back when I was an athlete at Maine, and you're doing a heck of a job right now. I'm 6 hours ahead. It's nighttime for me. I'm ready to run through a wall. really, that means a lot. That really means a lot. I really thank you for your support. And, all I'm doing is my best, and it really is an honor to represent Maine and my friends and family and community. And it's, you know, I kind of blinked and all of a sudden it happened. I never really thought I would be doing something like this. I have a lot of interests and certainly desire in that drive you mentioned, but yeah, sometimes it just comes together when you just give all you have to something. Sometimes opportunities come up, and it was Coach Cassano that sort of meant bobsled to a handful of us. He said, hey, you know, track doesn't last forever and you still won't keep. You ought to check out this bobsled thing. If you like going fast, it's pretty cool. And I said, I like going fast. I like sprinting and lifting. I always watched it every 4 years. I didn't realize you could do it like, you know, full time. So yeah, I really have to credit Coach for that, because I just didn't know how to get involved. And he mentioned the combine, and we even did a little bit of, I would say almost cross training for the combine. We did the med ball throw, the shot toss, things like that. So I think I was pretty well primed for that combine. And once again, just thank you very much for that support.
Coach, it's all because of you, it sounds like.
No, Frankie's very kind for saying those sweet things and nice things about me. But at the end of the day, this journey is his 100%. He put that first foot forward. That's how every journey starts. And now being at his second Olympic Games, representing our country, his family, state of Maine, University of Maine, that's what it's about, his journey all the way. And Frankie, I mean it, man, from the bottom of my heart. I'll be rooting for you. Hit those top speeds, get a great push start, and, man, go get it.
Yeah, thanks so much. A little bit more on University of Maine. At one time, I think there were 6 or 7 of us on various levels of Team USA with bobsled and skeleton, all from Maine track and field and Maine football. And so it was really cool that probably in a 2 to 3 year span, so many of us tried out. And Jimmy Reed and myself ended up competing at the 2022 Olympics. But there were at least 5 more that tried out in some capacity and at least got a taste of the experience. And it was a big part of Coach and our sort of commitment together to be like, hey, this looks like a lot of fun. Let's see what we can do. Let's train hard and give it a go.
David, Coach Cassano, thanks so much for calling in. Coach Cassano is the Colby College head coach of track and field, but coached Frankie Del Duca years ago at the University of Maine. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling, and this is a wonderful day because we are talking about Olympics, and we are with Team USA bobsled driver Frank Del Duca, who is from Bethel, Maine. He's already in Europe training, and I have a note here that the race dates for bobsled are February 16th, 17th, 21st, and 22nd. So the countdown is on. Also with us, Christine Brennan. You know her name and face as a longtime sports journalist. This is her 22nd consecutive Olympic Games. Hard to believe. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about the Olympics? Do you know Frankie? Do you have something to say to him? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org. We're joined now by Mike Mandel, who is a staff writer with the Morning Sentinel in Waterville. And this morning, Mike, you had an article in the paper because Frankie is not the only Olympian from Maine this year. You've been breaking some news. Who else will be representing Maine this February?
Yeah, thanks for having me. We've got Nathan Pear from Farmingdale, who went to Bethel, and we have Sam Morse from Carabasset Valley. He's in alpine skiing. Nathan is in the snowboard cross, so it should be a good contingent from the Pine Tree State in the coming weeks.
Wow. And, you know, I knew about Frankie because of the last Olympics, and everybody expected him to make the team, obviously. What about Sam and Nathan? Are these did you know this was coming?
There were certainly both athletes we had an eye on. Nathan has been the number one snowboard cross racer, number one American snowboard cross racer in the standings for a while now. He's had his sights set on this. And then Sam Morris has just been pushing this for a while. There were three or four names we had kind of keep an eye on. We're kind of keeping an eye on and thought they might have a shot. They were certainly among those names.
All right. And then there's a young woman, Emily Fischnaller, who lived in Maine for a while. So we get to cheer for her too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say we can claim her.
Okay. Tell us about her.
Yeah, well, she was born in Portland. She lived in Falmouth until she was 10. She's in the luge. It's going to be an exciting time for her as well. She competed in the 2018 and 2022 games as well, so not a first-timer, unlike Sam and Nathan. Her teammates are Summer Britcher and Ashley Farcarson. I might have pronounced that wrong. They announced it Monday. It's going to be an exciting time.
Frankie, do you all train side by side with luge, or is that somewhere else? Are you training somewhere else?
No, we train side by side, and people from Maine may know Emily as Emily Sweeney, and then she got married to an Italian luger and is now Emily Fischnaller. So that may be helpful for some of the listeners home in Maine to make the connection.
Cool. Well, Mike, thanks for taking the time and calling into Maine Calling today. Mike Mandel is a staff writer with the Morning Sentinel. And speaking of Sam Morse, we have his parents on the line together now, Earl Morse and Pam Morse. I understand that, like Frankie, you are in Austria, right?
We are, Jennifer. We are in Kitzbühel, Austria.
Oh, my goodness. So, there must be a lot of celebrating going on right now with this announcement.
Yes, very excited for Sam. It'll be his first Olympics, and I know many Mainers are cheering him on.
So tell us about his event.
He has two events. He races in Super G and then downhill. So downhill is with the gates the farthest apart and the fastest, and Super G, they're just a little bit closer together. So he'll be definitely in those two events. And then there's a team combined event, and they'll take the fastest American downhiller skiers and pair them up with a slalom skier. And then that pair will add their times together in a race. And so that will be announced after the downhill, who gets to run in that race. So he's going to be in two, possibly three.
So exciting. I have to ask you all, as a parent myself, what is it like to be the parent of a downhill racer who is racing the races that you have just described?
Well, what I can say, Jennifer, is with Pam, we live at Sugarloaf, and Sam started skiing when he was 2 years old, and so he will say he's more comfortable on skis than walking. So we have definitely numbed ourselves over time. So that's good.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to call in from Austria. And great luck, you know, best of luck to Sam. We can't wait to cheer him on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Earl Morse and Pam Morse, parents of Sam Morse, who is downhill skier named to the USA Olympic team. As you heard, they live at Sugarloaf. Frankie, you're from Bethel. And we understand that Nathan Pear is from Bethel. Is this someone you know?
Yes, we are from the same town. I don't know Nate. I'm a bit older. So I was out of Telstar before he probably attended Gould. But no, it's exciting. And I was going to say, I wish that you know, we were competing at the same spot because sliding sports are in Cortina and then women's alpine is in Cortina, but the border cross and men's alpine is in another host city. So it'd be really cool to link up with these competitors. Maybe we still can schedule it out, but yeah, just wishing them all the best. And it's, you know, congratulations to them on their first Olympics.
Christine, listening to Earl and Pam Morse, there's often a lot of coverage of the parents on Olympic Games. I'm thinking of Allie Raisman's parents and their reaction to everything she did. That must be part of the fun of being there and covering the games is meeting the families.
Oh, absolutely. And the joy, you know, I've been lucky, as you know, Jen, to cover Super Bowls and Wimbledon's, Tiger Woods, the length of his career. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for over 40 years and the Washington Post, Miami Herald and USA Today, and of course, CNN and others. So, you know, I kind of feel like I've been lucky to, I'm very fortunate and work hard, but very fortunate to see it all and be at these huge events. And I love the Olympics more than anything else. And one of the reasons is because it is usually that one shot. I mean, Frankie's got two, and more athletes come back. Katie Ledecky, for example, will be, you know, swimming in LA, unless, you know, knock on wood, and who knows what. But in general, because we have professional Olympians, they can make money now, which is great. The amateur meant rich people. So the idea of, oh, the amateur ideal, which some people listening might say, oh, I love that they're amateurs. Well, yes, they're amateurs compared to NFL players and Major League Baseball salaries, yes, but they're making money now and they deserve that to represent us and the honor to represent us like Frankie's doing. It's lovely and it is a family affair. And often parents are mortgaging the house, double second mortgage and things like that to help pay for a young child getting into a sport that's, you know, a little bit off the beaten path. Right? Because these are not necessarily school sports. I guess they're skiing in Maine high schools. But in general, you know, it's something you have to go somewhere else. It's not the basketball team. Figure skaters all have to leave their school to go and pay exorbitant fees to rent the ice, et cetera. And that's the joy of this. And I think, you know, because these wonderful athletes like Frankie, figure skaters, I mentioned, obviously Lindsey Vonn at 41. She's a multimillionaire for sure. Michaela Schifrin also, but also the young ones coming up, like we were just hearing. This is, you know, their moment. They never overstay their welcome, right? They drop into our lives for 2 weeks, and then most likely they're gone forever. Again, hopefully they get another shot. And we've got a U.S. Olympics, Winter Olympics in 2034 in Salt Lake City. So some will be even moving ahead all the way to that, looking forward to that. But first, the French Alps in 2030. Anyway, point being, it is just delightful. And it's exactly what sports should be. When sports are good, they're great. Frankie is the epitome of all of that. If you're sick and tired of pro athletes and pro sports, and you know, you've kind of had it with all that, this is your time to see athletes doing it for all the right reasons, because there was never a pot of gold at the end of this necessarily for you, Frankie. And NFL players, yeah, they love football. Right. But NFL players love football, but they also know they're making millions, right? So it's just different. And I didn't mean to talk over you. I'll just say one more thing. I'll let you talk, Frankie. But of course, if you're talking Maine Olympians, I got to mention Joan Benoit. I mean, the great obviously Summer Olympics. I covered her marathon, first woman's marathon, total groundbreaker, 1984 in LA. She wins the gold under the enormous pressure being the first woman, first women's marathon. And Joni Benoit, just Boston Marathons, everything I've covered her for years. If she's listening, hi, Joni, you are the greatest of all time. Frankie, all yours.
Well, Christine, yeah. I know you need to leave soon, and I wanted to ask you if you have any questions for Frankie.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, just the pressure, you know, the moment, right? I mean, because of what I was just talking about, because it is on the moment, you know, there's no game next week. I mean, you continue to compete overseas, but the Olympics is so outsized compared to your World Cup and your, you know, your Grand Prix and all of the things you're doing day in, day out and week in, week out. How do you deal with that pressure?
I can't truly explain why I'm able to compartmentalize things relatively well, but even at, you know, my first Olympics, I had not gone to the test event and everyone else did. And I had the least amount of driving experience out of the entire field. And I remember just warming up for the Olympics, and I felt this just weird sense of calm. And I just believed that I prepared as best I could, and I was going to do my best, and I could live with the results because I prepared and I asked more of myself than I think other people could or would. So I put so much demand and pressure on myself, really my whole life, that going to the Olympics, yeah, there's, you know, I don't want to say pressure to perform. There's these expectations to perform, but they weren't greater than the ones that I put on myself. So I just felt like I had prepared my whole life for the moment, and it was time to just, you know, take off the rev limiter and go. And so I feel, you know, there's more expectations on us this time around. Before, I was just the rookie. Now we're, you know, knocking on the door of the medal, so we're a medal contender, but it's the same thing. It's, I prepared my whole life. I've asked a lot of myself, and I have a great support system with my family and friends. So really, I'm going to lay it all out on the line, do the best I can, and I'll live with the results.
Well, that is fantastic. And I'll be hanging out with all those people in sequins, nice and toasty warm, but I will be keeping an eye on your results. And I did go with Tony Kornheiser from ESPN, who's a neighbor, friend, former colleague at Washington Post for years. I mean, we traveled many, many places together. And he and I in Lillehammer, 94, left the Tanya Nancy saga. I mean, Tanya, ridiculous. Nancy was attacked, you know, of course. But nonetheless, what a story. And we came to bobsled one day, and we stood there on the track, right by the track, you know, because you can go, there's different spots, obviously. And for all of your listeners, Jen, for everyone, the whoosh, I mean, the speed, you really do need, if you have a chance to get to the Olympics, go to bobsled and stand there and watch the speed and the split second decisions that Frankie needs to make as you're just flying down that track. I, you know, it's what, 32 years ago. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday.
Yeah. And also I'd like to mention, we are based in Lake Placid, New York, which is 5 hours from Portland. It's 5 hours from Bethel. And a four-man bobsled is 1,400 pounds, and we're going 85, 90, 95 miles an hour. So you can actually feel us go by. And spectator, it's a very spectator-friendly sport. It's almost as crazy as, like, groupie rally, if people are familiar, or rally racing in general. The spectators are just lining the track. And as long as you're not hanging over the track, you can watch. So you can be within a few feet and actually feel the sleds go by. And then I did want to touch on something about pay with athletes, just because it's a little bit of a fun fact, because I think, you know, we do travel to some really cool places and world famous places, and racing's expensive and all that. But believe it or not, Team USA, USA Bobsled and Skeleton, and myself, we all operate on donations and partnerships. So we actually don't get paid at all. If you reach the pinnacle of your sport and your team, sometimes there will be a small stipend. But to give you perspective, when I was a push athlete, I was on USA One, and my stipend didn't cover my student loans. So it wasn't like I was able to even, really live. So, yeah, we really do survive on those partnerships, sponsorships, donations, fundraisers, all that. So, I mean, definitely credit to those big name athletes that are doing very well with endorsements. And I mean, they absolutely deserve it. Shaun White is a pioneer in snowboarding and was at the top of the sport for, I mean, decades. So, I mean, that's awesome, but quite honestly, that's probably less than 1% of the Olympians. Most of us are below the poverty line and doing it because we love this sport. So, and also, we really are backed by the American people and the fundraisers and the donations from American people and small businesses that are the backbone of the country that are really keeping us going. So I want to thank them as well.
We understand, Christine Brennan, that you have to leave us now. I understand. I appreciate the time you were able to spend with us. You know Christine Brennan's name from USA Today, and now she has a podcast called Milan Magic with U.S. gold medalist Brian Boitano. Thanks for joining us, Christine.
Jen, thank you. Frankie, good luck. Look forward to keeping an eye on you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to meet at some point as well. Take care. Thanks, everyone.
Yes, thanks so much. I hope so.
We have another quick break. You still have a few minutes to say congratulations or hi to Frankie. 1-800-399-3566. Or if you have a question about the bobsled, call with that question, 1-800-399-3566. Or send a very quick email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. We are talking with Olympic bobsled athlete Frank Del Duca, who is from Bethel and went to UMaine and is getting ready to drive the sled for the U.S. team in Milan. We have a few minutes left. If you're quick, you can share your comments and questions. talk@mainepublic.org is the email address. You can give us a call as well, 1-800-399-3566. One thing we haven't mentioned yet, Frankie, is that you are in the Army. How does that work? How are you an Olympic bobsledder and also an Army officer?
Well, I'm actually enlisted in the Army, and it's a unique program called the Army's World Class Athlete Program, and I went to basic training. I got my military occupation specialty, and I was assigned to the WCAP, it's called World Class Athlete Program, WCAP attachment in Colorado Springs, and then I'm remote stationed at the Lake Placid Olympic Training Center. So it's a pretty unique program. I maintain all of my military requirements. I do military trainings. But then when the season comes around, I go on something called TDY. It's temporary duty. And that assignment is competing on Team USA for the Army and for Team USA.
Wow. What, when you are with the Army, when you're doing your Army work, what's your specialty?
I'm an 11 Bravo infantryman.
All right. Well, we're going to go to Esme, who's calling from Isle of Ho. Hi, Esme. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm a longtime listener. I love your show so much. It's such an important platform for the Maine community. I am compelled to bring this back at this moment to the crisis in our state, our neighbors who are being violently abducted, families ripped apart. If all listeners could just take one moment, donate to the Maine Solidarity Fund, attend the rally in Portland, Monument Square tonight, please text the ICE.
Esme calling from Isle of Ho. Had told us she was going to be talking about the Olympics, but of course has changed that. So I apologize for the change. I know there are people who actually will welcome that. Though we'll move on and we'll go to Emily, who's calling from Bethel. Hi, Emily. Go ahead.
Hey, Frankie. Question for you. You talked about the sled being 1,400 pounds, and I just wondered if you could talk more about that. Does that include the weight of the people on it, and what is the material? What makes it so aerodynamic?
Yes. Hi, Emily. Yes, the sled itself is not 1,400 pounds. We are not that strong. The sled the minimum weight is 210 kilos, which is 452 pounds. So that it'll be at least 452 pounds. And then that's for four man, 170 kilo for the two man. And then there's a maximum weight as well. And so sled, crew, all equipment that goes down the hill, so any booty covers or anything we have to cover our shoes, has to be 632 kilos, which is off the top of my head, I think around 1,400 pounds. So that's sort of because more weight would help you going downhill, there's a maximum limit. And then there's a minimum weight limit as well, just to sort of regulate how big athletes can be. And as far as aerodynamics, there's actually quite a bit of research and development that goes into the sleds, and sleds go into the wind tunnel a lot like race cars. And we were actually in a wind tunnel this off season, and they tell us riding position and where there's the most amount of drag on the sled. And it's pretty in depth. It's kind of crazy actually how complicated things get sometimes with racing, just fighting for hundredths of a second. And then I always say, you know, there's all this research and development, and sleds are crazy expensive. And in the end, I'm pulling on a rope. Left goes left, right goes right. So as complicated as it gets, the steering is just so simple. And yeah, we're just fighting for those hundredths. So it gets pretty particular.
Emily, thanks for calling. Any follow-up questions?
Yeah, just wondered what the material is that it's constructed from.
Oh, that's right. I knew I've missed something. So our two-man sleds are made in America, and Hans DeBoe of DeBoe Tech over in Mooresville, North Carolina, makes our sleds out of carbon fiber. And he also does the carbon fiber for Corvette, and their operation is second to none. It is incredible what they can do with carbon fiber, and absolutely outstanding craftsmanship and a family-owned business made right here in America. However, our four-man sleds, we didn't have time to do a four-man project in America, so we bought what is effectively the fastest off-the-shelf four-man, and it is a German and Austrian partnership of who makes it, and it is a sort of a fiberglass composite.
Emily, thanks so much for calling in. Emily calling in from Bethel. Frankie, we were talking before about family. You have a different family than you had when you were competed 4 years ago. Two little ones now, correct?
Yes, it's been, I've wanted to be a dad my whole life. I said when the time was right, I can't wait. So even as a kid, I saw how my dad was and just, the mentorship and how much love and care he put into being a dad. And I just couldn't wait to sort of learn from that and carry on that tradition of, just being that mentor and that supporter of hopefully a future family. And so my wife, Haley, and I, we had two boys. Sebastian is 3 and Lorenzo is 10 months now. It's been an absolute blast. I swear the first like 6 months, you sleep a month's worth of sleep in 6 months, but it's more than worth it. And yeah, it's just been a dream come true.
Will your wife and boys be in Italy able to watch you bobsled in the Olympics?
Yes, they will. That's probably the biggest difference this time around because we don't have the COVID restrictions. I think China did the best they could, but we didn't have spectators. We didn't have, there was so many travel restrictions and things like that. But however, this time around, it's the opposite. And I think people are even more eager to get out and go to events and things that they may have missed out on. So this will be the first Winter Olympics that you can truly spectate. So my wife will be there, our two boys, my mom, dad, my aunt and uncle, my brother. I have a couple cousins. I have friends coming out. Teammates from University of Maine and friends from University of Maine, so much of my support system is coming out there, and I cannot wait to share this experience with them. I think that's really one of the best things is sharing something that you're passionate about or something that you pour your heart and soul into and sharing that with your support system. It really means the world to me. I've got, somehow extra motivation to do my best in front of those people.
And Frankie, I understand your mom and dad run a diner in Bethel, but if they're at the Olympics with you, what's going to be happening at the diner? Will there be people gathered for a watch party? Do you know?
Yeah, my dad has Crossroads Diner right there in Bethel, Maine, and he's been doing little watch parties, I think, when the World Cups are going. And I think there's sometimes if it's not on or if it's a weekend we're not racing, every now and then customers will be like, hey, there's no race. They've come to expect it. So I think there will be a watch party there, even though he won't be there. He'll set up, now he's got all the things set up to be able to stream it and all that. So, and he sent me pictures of customers and friends with a thumbs up and a little inspirational message, and they're all tuned in. It really just means the world to me. I think with things like this, I get a little bit tunnel vision sometimes, and it's almost like Groundhog Day. It's like, I need to do this, eat, sleep, train, compete. Sometimes I get just hyper-focused, and then I'll get a message from a friend or a family member or a community member, and they say, hey, good job, or if I have a tough race or something, hey, keep your head up, we're rooting for you. And those messages and just those, it really is inspiring to me, and I feed off of it. So, I'm just appreciative.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be really fun and exciting to be at Crossroads Diner in Bethel when you race. Frankie Del Duca, we're out of time. I so appreciate you joining us from Austria as you train for the Winter Olympics, and good luck to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, Frank Del Duca, a bobsledder from Maine, he will be representing the U.S. next month in the Winter Olympics. It is the second Olympics. Today's sound engineer, Sam Tracy. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.